Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson, who'll talk about the just-released USDA hemp guidelines, along with the procedures involved to determine those ultimate guidelines. Also on the program, Midwest Hemp Council co-founder and executive director Jamie Campbell Petty will talk about the upcoming Hemp at the Crossroads Expo in November in Indianapolis that everyone is looking forward to. All right, we open the program with Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson, here to talk about some new USDA information. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm great, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. So let's get right into this. Tell us what's going on here with the USDA. There looks like some people earning their paychecks up there in Washington.
Yeah, so this is the long-awaited USDA releasing what technically right now is a draft interim final rule on hemp programs here in the United States. So this is basically what the industry around the country has been waiting for since the 2018 Farm Bill passed. I think if some of our listeners will remember, we were expecting these sometime in August, and so we're basically right on schedule for the federal government.
and it's still not completely out there. There's a couple steps they have to go through to make this all official. Is that correct?
That's right. So I think right now this will officially, the draft interim rules will officially be published in the Federal Register. And that's what's going to start kind of our shot clock here, mm-hmm. meaning starting tomorrow, the public is going to have 60 days to provide comments and feedback to the USDA on the proposed rules. And then after that 60-day period's done, USDA may make some changes, they may not. But after that 60-day period's over, this rule will become effective for 2 years before the actual final rule is published sometime after that.
So in layman's terms, folks can go to the Midwest Hemp Council website, click the link that would take them to this USDA page with this document. They can read it, download it, read it, and then they can, and then they're allowed to submit comments for possible changes. Or are there only certain people that are allowed to do that?
No, anyone's allowed to submit their comments and their feedback. And I would really encourage anyone listening to this podcast to engage in the process, because if they don't hear from people, they're just going to keep kind of maintain the status quo. Mm-hmm. And it is a very large document. The beginning's helpful. Just give everyone a quick rundown. The beginning's helpful because it gives you kind of an overview of the main sections of the new rule. But really, the draft rule starts on page 120, so that's also a good place to start as well, depending on how much time someone wants to spend reading this document. So if you have concerns about a certain proposed provision, here's a chance to voice those concerns and maybe offer an alternative to the current proposed rule.
And then what happens after that?
So after that 60-day period closes, the USDA is either going to make changes or they won't. And then that will officially become the final rule for the next 2 years.
And are there any main topics or sections that they're looking for comments on, or do you think they'd rather not have comments, or how does that work?
So that's a great question. They asked for comments. Really, you can provide comments to the whole document, but USDA is specifically looking for comments on the 15-day harvest window, meaning right now, USDA is proposing that a farmer has to give notice to their regulator within 15 days that they want to harvest, so they can go come out and get their tests and then harvest it in that 15-day window. That's on page 10. Page 16, they're asking for specific comments on certain lab certification requirements that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And on page 17, they're looking for what constitutes kind of a what are some facts that show a farmer took reasonable precautions and took best practices in growing hemp to not go hot. That'll make more sense as soon as you dive into the document a little bit more. But those are really the specific comments they're looking for. But again, you feel free to comment on anything that someone may or may have a concern about.
and actually voicing that comment, I assume there are instructions in the PDF or in the document about how to do that, the procedure.
Yes, another good question. That's on bottom of starts on bottom of page 2 and finishes at the top of page 3 on where you can either send your comments or email them to USDA.
Certainly showing your legal side there, Justin, having being able to point right to the specific answers there in the document. I assume you've probably already read the entire 160-page document.
Oh, I can't tell you how excited I was to get through it. Been waiting a long time for it.
So this is obviously the for hemp production in the United States, the rules, the regulations, everything everybody has to follow. How does that really affect Indiana? What kind of changes do you expect going forward that maybe the farmers wouldn't anticipate?
So kind of the specific impact this has on Indiana's program as it stands right now, probably the biggest thing right now is the harvest window. Right now, our regulations allow for a 30-day harvest period, which we think is pretty reasonable. It gives the farmer plenty of time to give the notice, give the state time to come out and do the tests, and then give time for those test results to come back before they actually harvest. So they're basically taking our 30-day window, and if this becomes the final rule, we're going to have to switch that to 15 days as opposed to 30 days. So that is probably a pretty big issue for our farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really appreciate anyone reaching out to Midwest Hemp Council or on your own to submit comments specifically on that 15-day harvest window, because I think it will make life a little harder than it needs to be for our farmers.
Are there any other major topics there that need to be addressed for Indiana specifically?
They're looking at adding additional requirements on laboratories doing hemp testing. And I think as a lot of the farmers discovered this year, there's quite a bit of backlog on getting back your test results in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little hesitant to add even more restrictions on or more requirements on labs, because I think that's just going to kind of narrow your pool down on your choices, even if it's just for a short term.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else we want to take a look at to make sure that our farmers get the test results back in a timely manner.
And Justin, if you could maybe in a nutshell run through that whole testing process once again, what do they have to go through? How long is it taking this year to have that to make that happen?
So, you'd give your notice to the state seed commissioner if you're planning to harvest within the next 30 days. They'll come out and do the test, and it takes anywhere between a week to 2 weeks to get your test results back. So it doesn't leave a whole lot of leeway for, let's say it rained really heavily and you couldn't get in your field to actually harvest, or there was a backlog, at the seed commissioner's office on getting those test results back. So we just think there might be a little more, should be a little more forgiving on that time frame.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any problem with the way the plants have been tested? For instance, too much of the plant, not enough of the plant, or has it all been fairly consistent through the entire process?
So I think we're still trying to get the exact protocol down that allows our farmers to be successful, but also maintains the integrity of the hemp market. So the testing sample and the protocol is still, I think, something that needs to be discussed. Federal law and state law requires what we call a representative sample of the plant to be taken. And right now, I'm not sure I would agree with that taking the top 2 inches of the flower where the highest concentration of cannabinoids is in the plant is a representative sample of that whole plant the farmer's selling. So
mm-hmm.
we do have a little long ways to go there. You know, this interim rule does make it clear that states are required to convert THCA into THC in those test results. Basically what's known as a total THC test now. I think from a legal perspective, there's reasonable minds could disagree on what federal law requires. And I don't see anything in federal law or state law, in fact, in terms of hemp growing in the field where THCA is mentioned anywhere. So mm-hmm. in terms of kind of the biggest issues right now, I think this is a huge issue for the industry, and particularly our farmers, because if farmers can't get out of the field, the whole industry is not going to go anywhere.
And is each state kind of on their own independent level of testing, meaning one state it could pass, the next state not, or are they all fairly universal, or at least trying to be universal?
So the intent here, I think, with this USDA rule, what everyone was hoping for was for consistency and uniformity across the nation. That way, one state can't put their farmers at an advantage over another farmer or another state. So the intent there is there for uniformity, but unfortunately, it does do the total THC definition, which, again, I think reasonable minds could disagree on how to interpret that. I will tell you, it is nice to see they do include, in terms of test results in the interim rule, they do require what they refer to as a measurement of an uncertainty in the test results that the lab has to give back. And with that, that's just kind of a fancy word for a margin of error. So depending on what lab you send it to and depending on their margin of error they have on record, if you are anywhere between, you know, let's say your margin of error is 0.3 and you have a sample that's 0.28 and 0.31, as long as 0.3 is somewhere in that fluctuation, that's going to be considered a compliant crop. So that's an acknowledgement that the testing still is not there. We don't have consistent uniform tests. So that's definitely a step in the right direction. But again, I think the bigger issue here that the whole industry needs to be talking about is this idea that we're adding THCA into the definition of hemp.
Well, still a very young industry, just 1 year of legalization and only a few years to really go back and test and that sort of thing on a very small scale. So as this grows, obviously questions like that, procedures like that should fairly well fall into place. We've got a lot of bright people working on this.
Yeah, there is. And you just mentioned that this is still a growing industry and the interim rules do not set up any kind of federal certified seed program. They acknowledge that, look, just because it's certified seed in one state doesn't mean it's going to grow to the same standards in a different state due to the light cycles of the soil or just the environment in general. So I think that's kind of an interesting acknowledgement as well, that we essentially have four breeding seasons in the United States, starting with the 14 Farm Bill. So we have a long ways to go to make sure that farmers are working with consistent and quality genetics.
All right. Some great information there, Justin. Well, again, we're speaking with Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, and Justin Swanson. Justin, anything else that we need to add to this today?
I would just point out, too, that these rules do require producers to report directly to the Farm Service Agency. So that's something we're looking into to make sure that all of our farmers have access either electronically or in person to submit this required information. It's really just reporting where your land is and the amount of acres, but that's just an additional burden on the actual producer of hemp.
All right. And once again, we do encourage everybody to go click the link, go at least take a look at this PDF, or at least the version I saw was a PDF version. And you can start digging into that, reading up on it, and eventually get through it like Justin probably did, what, in a couple hours, I would imagine? Probably didn't take you that long, did it?
Took me a while. Took a lot of notes.
All right. And of course, we'll keep folks updated here on the podcast as well. And Justin, thanks for coming out and laying all that out for us. Like I said, very interesting. And we'll look to hear more in the future from you.
Yeah, and the good news, Jason, is this is the, you know, starting, I believe tomorrow, states are going to be able to submit their state plans for approval. So I anticipate the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee to meet sooner rather than later to kind of formally issue or release our state plan and get that submitted to USDA and get moving on for the 2020 growing season.
Fantastic. Again, we look forward to it. Justin, thanks again, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right. As we continue on, we'll speak with co-founder and executive director of the Midwest Hemp Council, Jamie Campbell Petty. Jamie, we're still working very hard and heavy here on the Hemp at the Crossroads coming up November 16th and 17th. Can we get an update?
Thanks, Jason. We have an exciting lineup of speakers. We've actually sold out all of our booth space. We're trying to make some room for some extra booths and a few more sponsorship positions. So if you're interested, definitely reach out. We have a few more sponsorship opportunities, but most of those are filled now. And ticket sales are going really well. We're going to basically kick off an entire weekend of hemp, and it will start on the 15th. Up at Third Wave Farms facility in Kokomo. And you can go to the website, Midwest Hemp Council website, to get a link to your tickets. We have very limited space, so we encourage you to secure your tickets. As everyone has heard me say before, all of these events are selling out really quick. And I'm a procrastinator as well, but it's pretty important to get in there and get your tickets. So I'm excited.
Excellent. Now, so that extends the weekend. Now we're looking at the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Talk about the agenda and what's going on, what folks can expect when they go out that weekend.
Absolutely. So up in Kokomo at Third Wave's facility, what you'll be able to see is you'll have eyes on an actual hemp drying machine, and you'll be able to see some of the equipment they use for that and for trimming and processing. So, and it's mainly a networking opportunity and then a facility viewing. Mm-hmm. So that's mainly what we'll be doing then. Then Saturday morning at Marriott East, we will kick off the Hemp at the Crossroads. And my friend Michael Bowman will be kicking off the event. Michael was actually the author of the language in the 2014 Farm Bill regarding hemp, Section 7606, and has been a leading advocate for farmers and hemp since before that time. We're welcoming there. But most of the agenda on Saturday, the agenda will be focused on agronomy. And we will be hearing from farmers, experienced farmers, researchers, and also have a panel of Midwest farmers who grew this year, most for the first time. And it'll be a lessons learned, and they can share some of the hurdles that they encountered and kind of impart some of their learning curves.
And so, is this going to be in a large group atmosphere, like an auditorium situation, or smaller rooms, or how is that going to break down?
This will be in the main speaker, the main education hall. Mm-hmm. So we are expecting somewhere around 300 to 400 attendees, and we have a comfortable accommodations for that, so we're set up for that. That'll be Saturday, and with your ticket, lunch is included, refreshments, and also a ticket to the trade show, which will be in a separate area. And then Sunday will be focused mostly on the regulatory side, and we will have the Office of the Indiana State Chemist, who is the regulatory body for Indiana. They'll be there. Justin Swanson will be talking about the state level and maybe what we're going to be seeing as far as regulation, legislation. Then we will have persons there from the insurance industry, from banking, all to talk about how things are changing on the business side and how we are being able to open up into new areas. Christy Sutherland will be there to talk about the newly available grants for farmers, growers, businesses. So realistically, you can kind of look at it as 2 days of fabulous information, both Saturday for focus on agronomy and Sunday on business development and regulatory.
So regardless of whether you're interested in the regulatory side or not, the booths and expo is still going to be going on as well.
Exactly. And you can go to Hemp at the Crossroads, and there's a tab for booths. And although right now they're just placeholders, you can see all the entities that are going to have booths. And we have equipment manufacturers. We have CBD processors. I believe we have irrigation. I mean, it's a really nice representation of the supply chain.
Okay. And who would benefit most from going to this event?
So this event really is, it underscores everything that we have learned this year in the success of our growers. Mm-hmm. You can see a direct correlation between those growers who experienced success and a strong level of success with the degree of education, information, and networking in which they participated and the knowledge that they would share. And that is the basis for this crossroads. We are bringing together growers, farmers, producers, processors, not just to gain this education from our speakers or from those in the booth, but to network and to build that supply chain. The supply chain is still not a strength within the industry. It's an infant industry, and we need to mature our supply chain. So that's what these events, it is gaining this education and this insight, but it's also about networking and meeting those people that you need to fill your business plan, to complete your business plan.
With all the trials and tribulations everybody's gone through all year, it sounds like it's just kind of a culmination of all that information coming down to one location and one expo.
It is. And as Midwest Hemp Council, our goal all along has been to, obviously, we want success within Indiana, but we want success throughout the Midwest, because as a region, we must work together and we must maneuver through the hurdles and the pitfalls and share in the successes. And that's what this conference is intended to do. We also have a cocktail hour on Saturday night, so a little more lighthearted opportunity for networking and getting to know one another. And one of the things, you know, you said, what are some of the highlights? You know, yesterday the USDA released their draft interim rules, which we've all been waiting for very anxiously. Mm-hmm. So this will be, it's approximately 161 pages, I believe. So it'll be very important. That will be a key element at the crossroads, because we will have the Office of the Indiana State Chemist there. We'll have Justin Swanson there and many others who are going to be able to evaluate how that's going to impact all of the states and their own plan, because our plans have to comport and be approved by the USDA based upon their structure that they have just rolled out. So that's going to be a great opportunity for everyone, especially those that don't have time to peruse these rules word for word. This will be a great opportunity to learn about those and to also be able to engage in feedback that is imperative as we unroll our own regulations.
Well, and speaking of the USDA, I understand that Purdue was given the first USDA grant to study hemp. What information do we have on that?
Yes. So we learned this week that we were approved. And when I say we, I'm proud to say that Midwest Hemp Council is participating and did participate in the submission of that grant. Myself and members Marty Mahan and Mike Lewis will sit on the grant advisory board. We have not had our first meeting yet, but I assume that will happen in December, and then we'll be able to formulate where and how this grant money will benefit the research for Indiana and the Midwest. We're very excited. Purdue has worked tirelessly to gain funds to expand their research and to for the benefit of Indiana farmers and those in the Midwest. So this will be an opportunity to elevate their research and maximize the amazing resources that they bring to the table.
Well, it would take some of us this next 15 to 16 days to get through that 160 pages. But should anyone want to do that, of course, they can get that link to that PDF on the Midwest Hemp Council website. I believe it's the top story for the week right now. So go there, click that link, and you can go get started reading on that PDF and get up to speed as much as possible. And Jamie, I know you're headed out of town this weekend as we talk here on the podcast.
I am. I'm going to go down. I'm really excited. I'm going to go see some of the folks that kind of kicked things off in 2014. We'll go down and be at the Hemp Industries annual conference. That's in Charlotte, North Carolina this year. And we have some folks here from our own state that are up for recognition for their leadership, and our organization as a whole is up for recognition in our leadership throughout the country. So it'll be fun to do that, but also great to compare stories and compare notes with others from around the country as to, again, lessons learned, right? And how we're all going to collaborate to get this industry up and running. So I'm excited about that.
Well, Jamie, and while you're headed out of town, a lot of the hemp folks staying in town for the FFA National Convention and Expo, trying to get to the young minds there and get them interested in hemp.
Absolutely. And it's been great. We've been getting a lot of outreach even prior to the convention from FFA advisors who want to incorporate hemp into their curriculum. So we hope to be able to benefit that with along working with Purdue Extension. But yes, our team is down at booth 1372 at the convention. It's the Indiana Convention Center. and really encourage you to stop by. It's always fun. They have so many interactive booth space. And last year there was karaoke, there was a bull riding. There's all kinds of fun things to do there, really. And again, we're in booth 1372. So come by and say hello to our team.
All right. Once again, Jamie Campbell Petty, founder and executive director of the Midwest Hemp Council. Jamie, unless there's anything else we need to add for this week, we certainly do appreciate you coming in and being with us this week.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jason.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's show. We certainly thank you for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. You can find out more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.